Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review the Wagner Vineyards Cabernet Sauvignon from the Finger Lakes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here. It's good to visit or revisit with an old friend.
Are you talking about me, Scott?
No. Talking about the wine.
Because, I mean, you call me an old friend, Scott, but an old friend, would that old friend give a new friend a fake number after a hot night of passion? I don't think so, Scott. Yeah, really, a good friend would really give him a number. You know, I called, and I went, 911 prefix seems kind of odd, but I called that number anyway. And I was very, very graphic and emotional. And you know what happened to me?
Well, did you got arrested?
How did you know this? Is that what your plan was?
You called 911, oh, Wilfred.
You dickhead. You went through a lot of degradation to make that joke on me, but I don't... Let's forget about that.
You're the epitome of degradation.
I don't know what epitome means, but still.
You know what degradation means.
I know what happened to me.
I think you invented degradation.
I got a cattle prod up my ass. That's not standard police equipment either, but they had it.
Depends what... Depends what that stripper dressed up like the policeman's bringing to the table.
He was rough, yet gentle. Very sensual. Thank you for my birthday gift. Anyway.
Jesus.
On tonight's show, we have a wine from Wagner Family Vineyards in the Finger Lakes. It's a winery that we've had on the show a couple times, maybe even three. And we've always enjoyed their wines. We've done their Cabernet Franc, and I know we've done their Ice Vine in like an Ice Vine / German Riesling weirdo episode. We've talked about them considerably, and I've been to Wagner. Matter of fact, I bought this bottle at the winery proper. And this is their estate-bottled Cabernet Sauvignon. They're 2020, which is pretty much a current vintage. Mm-hmm. Wagner Family Vineyards is on Seneca Lake. A lot of their stuff is lakeside. Matter of fact, if you're at their winery, you can sit out there on their decks or you can walk down through the vines. Everything is pretty much, most of the vines, most of the vineyard is right down on the lakeside.
Lake.
Yeah, east side. Mostly good sun in the morning and then obviously in the evening.
East side?
Yeah. It's a winery that we've had good success with. I've drank a lot of different wines from them, enjoyed it to certain levels, especially when it's drank in the right scenario.
Now, hold on just a second, sir.
Mm.
What exactly do you mean by you've enjoyed it, wines produced by Wagner, to certain levels? You enjoyed it to certain levels.
I did not necessarily enjoy it served at 79 degrees.
So when you made a visit.
Yes, they had warm wine.
And that's a little disappointing for me.
Well, it's outside. You know, it looked like a rooster's. It looked like a chicken wing place.
But you need to temperature control the wines. That's a bit disappointing.
The question is, what are you going for? They were going for a little bit more of a tourist kind of vibe where you go and you have your flight of wine and you're eating your artichoke dip and you're, you know, sitting there having fun. Not necessarily you're sitting down and saying, I'm going to now find the next great wine after, you know, Petrus. That's not what you're doing there.
But still, it's like there's this thing called air conditioning.
They don't have that there.
Yeah, or a wine cooler to temperature control, at least the wine.
Well, maybe they had that, but no. Well, this is the thing. They had like a private tasting room where this old dude that didn't know what he was talking about was like giving private tastings, but it wasn't.
Why do you mock this old dude. First of all, he's just seasoned.
I heard him talk. Vet. I heard him talk. And present.
So you were stalking him?
No, I was listening. There's a difference between listening and stalking.
Not for you.
I can explain that, Scott. Yes, stalking is when you sit in your car out in front of someone that you used to be with's house. And you watch
him. Actually
the,
ever with
the,
them?
I'm talking about generally, Scott. This is generalities. You know, somebody you met at the grocery store that you saw there, and you followed them back to their house.
Maybe
you
actually didn't meet them.
No, well, I mean, meet is a different thing. I felt like I knew them.
Meet is a different
thing.
They
gave a look at me. They looked me in the eyes. They ran away, but in that split second before they ran away, I could see that they said, come to my house and look in my windows, Wilford, and jiggle the doors to see if I locked them. See, I did that almost like a police officer to make sure they were safe, because you wouldn't want some weirdo breaking into your house like I did several times that they weren't locked, and then I would look at them while they were asleep.
You get a totally different meaning from the Melissa Etheridge song, don't you?
Which one?
Come to my window.
I don't go to their window, Scott. I go through the front door or the back door. Or
I bet you like the back door.
But that's a really good visit. Or maybe their garage door, Scott. Yeah, yeah.
The garage door.
You don't go to their window. Besides the fact that was the person inside the house beckoning someone to come to their window. No one technically beckoned me except for the slight glance before they ran away at the Kroger. When I looked at their eyes and they saw that I was, you know. Anyway, it was a misunderstanding, but still.
No, I don't think so.
I think, well, I don't know. You think that they wanted me to go to their house and shimmy the door and then watch them sleep?
No, the arrest that occurred after that.
One time I actually took a picture. I laid down next to the person, you know, and then pretended for, you know, a good solid 45 minutes. They're a very sound sleeper. That's all I can say. Yeah.
Jesus.
And they is you, but that's okay. Anyway, there was a time Scott, Rob the wine guy, was at Scott's house, and Scott decided Rob the wine guy falls asleep on his couch, right? And so Scott says, I'm going to sleep on the couch too. And Scott took all his clothes off to sleep next to Rob the wine guy on his own damn couch with his bedroom 30 feet away. But why he took his clothes off is another question. Yeah, why were you naked, Scott?
I wasn't naked.
You were more naked than Rob the wine guy was. He didn't take his pants off.
You passed out.
That's the worry that he has. He passed out. He doesn't know what happened.
You tend to do that at the group Christmas parties.
That's true, because he's drunk. But that doesn't mean...
It goes back.
You say, oh, Rob the wine guy's passed out. Now I can get naked and sleep next to him? That's weird, Scott.
Many people disrobe when they sleep for the night.
Not next to another man on their couch.
I wasn't next to you.
You were next to him. You were within 2 feet. That's next to him.
No.
Yes, you were.
False.
I measured it with a tape measure.
But you did.
I bring that.
You bring that to the table,
If it weren't for Rob the Wine Guy's bundling sack, he would have been touched by you in a way he didn't want to be touched.
Bundling sack?
Yes, it's from the Revolutionary War period. He sewed himself up in a sack to protect his virtue.
Is this a wine show?
It could be.
So, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Wagner Family Vineyard 2020 Cabernet Sauvignon. No reviews for this wine. However, in the glass,
It's a little translucent, but it does look decent. A little cranberry. We're not expecting too much.
I think...
This is a sub-20 wine.
Well, look, Cabernet Sauvignon's not known to grow in this region.
Well, they grow it. It's just not grown, known to grow well.
Yes, and not just not... Typically, when a wine doesn't grow well in a region, it's not going to be a higher quality wine. So there's a reason you don't see Cab Sauvignon in the Midwest, in the East. We have had some success with kind of sort of non-traditional areas. We had a nice, actually a Trump winery, Cab.
Virginia does well with Cab.
It was good. And then Long Island.
Long Island, yeah.
But very lean.
But it was still lighter.
Low ABV.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah, in a lighter style. But yes, the Brotherhood is the winery.
It was good. What's the ABV here?
13.3.
And if I don't recall, the ABV was lower on the Brotherhood as well.
Yeah, it was. They're all lower. 13 or below.
And I think that's something you expect from, in general, particularly the red wines. Are going to be a little lower than what you'd expect from other regions. You know, my life is full. Yet again, we've been doing the show and Wine Guy. We're in the second episode, so we have consumed a bottle already. And he's dipping the nose in the glass.
Well, I got my nose in there.
There's a little drip of red wine coming down that nostril.
I wanted to smell the wine quite well. I like the nose. And on the nose, folks,
for a person who's so experienced at doing this, allegedly, if you're going, when we talk about sticking your nose in a glass of wine, don't wet it.
Well, you know.
This isn't a rap song about wetting somebody.
What?
Or
wetting somebody?
Sex scene.
What? That was my hat, folks.
Yeah, of course
it was. Professional.
We're talking about sticking your nose in a glass. You do not contact the fluid.
Well, you try not to, but contact the fluid. In the glass, though, on the nose.
On your nose, literally?
It has nice nose of blackberry / red. It's a berry nose with a little bit of menthol and vanilla.
I'm hopeful of the oaking on this because of the vanilla, because that vanilla on the nose is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I say. I like the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. It's not as dense in the glass as we'd like, but at the same time, there's a wonderful purple hue about it. It looks lively.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go in.
This is 12 months in a combination of French and American oak.
I think you're going to like this, Rob the Wine Guy, because I do. The first thing that surprises me about this wine, sometimes on the palate, you get a temperature sensation. This wine has been decanting for a significant period of time. We've talked ad nauseum about the temperature in the wine vault here where we do the broadcast, and it's a proper temperature, but there's a sensation of a chilled wine, and that's a nice feature, and it's a textural feature. You know, you can sometimes get a feeling of dairy or creaminess. This wine on the palate for me felt cool. It was like a chilling sensation. It's like a York peppermint. The chill. Ooh. The other thing that surprised me about this wine, wonderful savory fruit.
It has good savory fruit. This is a little bit lighter wine, but the oak on it is done so well that it gives it a structure and a backbone that is really, really good.
And
gives it smokiness. It gives it a beefy flavor to it. It just,
I wouldn't expect
a
New York State Cabernet Sauvignon to be able to take oaking and express it that way.
Yeah. And the oak is such a wonderful partner to the rest of the wine. And the wine itself, the grape stock, once again, is a little bit lighter. But that oak is just so deftly done that it just gives it weight. It gives it strength. It gives it power. It gives it some gravitas. And it makes it a banging little Cabernet.
I'm surprised by the savory fruit. That's a savory fruit profile that you would get from a California cab. I'm not comparing this to a Cabernet from California. The savory fruit profile, for sure. I am.
It like comes it. Across drier than California Cabernets. Correct. That's the first thing.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a drier wine. And so that's nice. It
took it to where? 13.3?
Yeah, 13.3. It almost tastes a little bit Chilean in some certain aspects because it's the lighter grape stock and, you know, you have a little bit of little sun-dried tomato / vegetal aspects. But forgetting all that, it's a it's Cabernet.
You know it's Cabernet.
It might be a little bit more Chilean South American style Cabernet, but it's still Cabernet, and it costs the damn same as they do.
You were not anticipating to like this.
No, I wasn't.
You're a little surprised.
Because I had it there, and it wasn't very good because it was too warm.
And that's silly that they do that. Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? Why would you have a shack outside and serve your wine at the improper temperature? Of course, why would you, if you're doing a wine podcast, why would you stick your nose in wine and, you know, have staining? You know, you have port stain on your face now because, well, you stuck your nose in New York.
The
Cabernet.
The way the tannin come across on the finished tube, it almost has a saline kind of salty character, which ordinarily you wouldn't be too big on, but it works here. It's rustic, and I like it.
Maybe it's just akin to the region because you used that saline term on a previous episode where we were doing a Cab Franc from the region.
It just has that kind of quality to it, but it works so well within this wine. Overall, it's a good product. You like it.
It's good.
It's one of these things where it doesn't taste like what Cali tastes like, right? But if you're stamping that passport, this is something you need to stamp. It's something that you need to stop and drink and enjoy it.
However, that savory fruit.
Yeah.
That is a California trademark.
Yeah,
in
but they
caps.
Don't. But it doesn't present this way.
It's a different presentation, but that one singular characteristic does compare really well. I think this is a wonderful expression of Cab, completely unexpected from because of where it's from. I think it drinks bigger than it is. And what I mean by that is that this is a medium-bodied wine.
Medium.
And it's fine. It's fine. You don't expect a full-bodied cab from the Finger Lake regions. You don't. You don't, folks. But it drinks bigger than the body that it has.
It punches above its weight because of its oaking and because of the way it really is crafted. It's just it makes me really be a little more excited about those maritages we've had for them.
So you had a bit of a bad experience at the winery. We need to talk to them about that. We should call and
because they want to hear that. Yeah.
Well, but
yeah, they need to be told.
You do need to be told that because if your wine is this good, and then you go there and you taste it, real wine people, they're not going to buy.
Yes, Scott, but
do you know what I'm saying?
But it's the whole ambiance of what they're going with. It's not a classic winery tasting.
I call bullshit. You can temperature control your wine, even if you're serving in a shed.
You need to cool your tits, as they would say.
My tits is fine. Mm-hmm. Little OG. There's more hair on the nipples than there used to be. It's really weird.
Really?
Yeah, aging sucks.
Now tell me a little bit about
better. It's better than the alternative.
What's that?
Dying?
I haven't done that, Scott, because I'm eternal.
Actually, you are dead, Wilfred.
I know, I'm a vampire.
No, you're just dead. Your mind keeps talking. We're just waiting for you to go away.
That didn't make any sense to me, but that's okay.
That's because you're dead.
No. I'm very alive. But I'm a little rigid in certain ways. Can I tell you how...
Rigor mortis?
No, it's called an erection, Scott.
No, you don't have those.
Oh, I do. It's constant, you know? I walk around, I run into stuff, I knock over stuff.
Those are your Lincoln logs that you're confusing with your flaccidness.
No, I use those for something different.
I'll bet you do.
I do, trust me.
Floaters in the bathtub.
Don't use those, kids. Don't play with those. That's set. Now it's been defiled. Your last name is rhymes with... Yeah, it's close. I can see why. So.
Good wine. A little acidity. I think that's fine.
But from that area, that's completely expected.
And it's fine. You know, this has been put back not quite a year. I think this could sit for another year easily. And I think that acidity is not a problem at this point. But I think it would calm down as it mellowed out a little bit.
A little bit.
And show maybe even more of that oaking.
Possibly. I think window from release, maybe 2 to 3 years, is the window.
The tannins in this are fine. Definitely not the biggest tannin bomb, and you don't expect that. And again, it's medium body. The tannins are in line with that. But it had enough of that tannic structure to handle this oaking.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. What a good job with the oaking.
They know what they're doing. I mean, it is painfully obvious that despite the fact that they have more of kind of a, you know, Papa Booze kind of drink some Miller Lite vibe, they know what they're doing.
At the tasting.
Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing. Yeah, because they make good wine. And the Cab Franc we have from them, didn't they get like a 90 from Parker? I think it
somebody,
did.
Somebody.
Yeah. And it was really, really good. But you could drink this all day long and be happy. Is it? Are you going to mistake it for a $35 California Cabernet? No.
But even if they charge $35 for this, which I don't think they do. I think it was in the 20s.
This is 18.
This 18?
Yeah.
This is far superior to any California designate cab we've done on this show.
If you're in their cellar club, it's $15. Oh, no, good God. Yeah, this is so much better.
This is far superior to any California designate. And what we mean by that is, you know, there's different designations based on AVA or county specific. Then you can get into vineyard specific, and there's a label designation for California, which means it can be grapes from wherever the fuck they want.
That's because this wine doesn't get caught up in the dipshittery that those wines do.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, but this is from upstate New York. It's, I think what we would call this is a reserve classification.
No. This is just their...
But it's grown by them.
This is their...
Estate.
This is their introductory level.
So it means it can be from any grape anywhere on there, not necessarily vineyard specific. But I'm not sure they even have a vineyard specific designation.
Well, they do some single vineyard stuff, but it's not this.
Regardless, compare this to California designation from any producer in California.
Oh, no.
This is better.
Oh, yeah.
This is better. It's not even close.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even close.
No. Not really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a wonderfully done red wine. Just spot on. They have some stuff from Wagner that are in the $20-$30 range. Their Pinot is $30. the reserve that I was talking about, but most generally it's under 20. The Meritage is, let's see what they're charging for that. It's 30. And Scott and I, we're probably not going to do that on the show, but eventually we will drink what we have from that. And we'll report, obviously, what we think of those wines. And the one thing that's very, very, very popular is their Ice Fine. And it's currently, let's just see, their Riesling Ice Fine is $30 for a half bottle. We've had it. It's pretty good, but it's, you know, not worth 30. I didn't pay 30 for it. So I paid like 18 bucks, I think, is what I paid for it. But we're going to take a break regardless, though. And when we come back, we're going to have the most delightful potpourri that you've ever heard in your entire life here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we're going to start off by breaking down this wine a little more thoroughly. What type of olive is this, Scott? Castellini?
That's what you said, yeah. But it's a really nice green olive, firm. It's a thinner olive. It's not the thickest thing, but nutty. But it's a fruity. It's very... I would describe it as a fruitier olive.
With a little bit of a buttery finish to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's from the fat in the olive.
And right? By the way, $5.99, big jar, currently at your local Costco. Buy it.
Delicious.
But this wine backed up with that.
The olives are fantastic with this wine.
Mm-hmm. They are.
What else would you pair this wine with?
Well, that's a bit of a trickier thing.
So let's do this. If you were going to take this wine and put it in a context of when it would be ideal to drink.
Right now.
Absolutely.
I'm mad at myself. I didn't buy 10 bottles of this.
It's really nice.
But we can, you know what we can do? We can get together.
Summer back deck, vacation.
There's a lot of times you
want to
drink.
Grilling steak.
But Scott, you and I probably need to combine our forces and order from them. Because I know them. I've been there. We know them. We like them.
I'd order half a case of this. It's just so easy to drink.
It's a nice wine, isn't
it's
it?
It's a really nice wine.
I don't know of anybody that would dislike this, that you would ever talk to again.
If you dislike this wine, you don't like wine.
The problem is that at 19 bucks, you're wandering out in the world and you're buying Cabernets left and right that at the grocery store that are not anywhere near this is good.
Well, but I'll be honest with you. There's times where, and I wouldn't call this a simplistic wine, but it's extremely straightforward. It does some nice things. I love the savory fruit.
Yeah.
The well-done oaking. It's got tannic backbone. The texture's nice. Not a high alcohol content, which sometimes that's okay.
Yeah.
But it's like, friend of ours retired, and daughter-in-law was on her way to the retirement party. She's like, "What? I want to buy her a bottle of wine. What should I get?" And I recommended a couple different things, Sagacio or CS, and she went with CS. And was with this person last night, and we drank that bottle of CS that I recommended not to pay for. But it's a really good bottle of wine. We love CS. Recommend it all the time to people. There's a time where I prefer this to CS. And I think CS is a good wine year to year, mass production. There's a time where I prefer this to CS. Am I saying this is a better bottle of wine than CS? I guess in a way I am, because there's times where I prefer it. Would I prefer it every day over it? Not necessarily. This is the type of gravitas I think it has.
I would like to tell you one thing, though, about this wine, Scott. What do you think the case production on this wine is?
I think it was 800 cases.
And that's 575 cases produced.
Right.
And so it's low production, folks, but you can get it right now from the winery. So seek it out. We're going to break this wine down from start to finish. In fact, their Meritage is 878 cases. Jesus.
The first thing for me is that mouthfeel where it just kind of has a cooling effect. It just, this wine is not cold, but it comes across my palate like it's a chilled wine. And that's got to do with the texture and the mouthfeel. I love that. Some people, I think that would freak out. I don't know the technical term for describing it. That's what I call it. It's kind of got a cooling effect.
Tart blackberry.
Yeah.
On the front palate. For those that like blackberry, folks, this wine does that. And it's a shock that, you know, Finger Lakes grapes are doing a blackberry, but it has it, front palate.
A savory fruit element. In general, it's like a cassis thing.
Yeah.
For me, it's calmed down a little bit since the first taste. Like at the first mouthful of this, that just jumped out at me. Maybe it was because it was so unexpected. But yeah, so savory fruit, I'm going to call it cassis.
Cassis is a black fruit, though.
Yeah, still.
It's a savory black fruit.
You're next, sir.
I know. I always eat an olive before this. The olive draws out the flavors.
He's trying to choke.
Oof, that's a good drink.
It really is.
Oh, man. Especially with the olives. The olives, sometimes things just make something sing. The olives really do that with this wine. I mean, oh, it makes it real good. There is a grape skin element to all the black fruits in the front, too. But forgetting all that, mid palate, you're getting a little bit of River Rock slate.
Let me look at that.
See, the thing is, like when we did the Red Newt, it had a little bit of acidity that was a little uncontrollable. It was a little older, too. It was 5 years older than this. This, the acidity is there, but it's kept in balance because the wine is fresher and the wine is bigger. This is medium bodied. I was saying schmedium before.
That's not fair. It's a medium bodied wine.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. There's some minerality thing. There's a minerality there in the mid palate. It's subtle. But I'm gonna bring out two characteristics that are from the same source. Obviously, the oaking and the nice. I'm gonna call it soft oaking, but on the nose, it's really present and a nice vanilla streak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't call it toasty oaking, but it's just really well oaked.
Mm-hmm.
Smoky, maybe? Just slight smokiness?
Honestly, this breaks out of the Finger Lakes. And it's so good, really, that you have to kind of say, let's take this and put this up in a different bracket. And then start judging it there.
Talking about how it's oaked.
I'm talking about the wine because the fruit really has started singing a little bit too. And in reality, you start saying, wow, this, it's a very small production, but you can buy it if you want it.
I think Rob's getting a glassy look in his eyes. I think he roofied himself. I'm not sure. I think he's...
little Bill Cosby
action. Hey, keep your hands up. Keep your hands on the desktop. Keep your hands on the desk. Both hands, Rob. Rob, keep your hands on the desktop. He's having a good time with this wine. Well, he's having a good time.
I don't know
if it's because of the wine.
It gets a little bit beyond that because it's that good, Scott. I mean, it really is.
This is a nice wine.
I mean, maybe it's a nice wine after you've drank a bottle and a half, and this is the end level of this bottle. But we've drank this bottle very, very quickly. It's very drinkable, but... it just has the right, it hits the right notes at the right time. Sometimes that kind of works. And this wine, in its simplicity, hits the right notes. And for somebody that enjoys a Cabernet, this, once again, I think I said it before, it's a stamp in your passport. You have to drink this wine.
It's just, and I think maybe I had no expectations on this. I would say, you know, we've enjoyed Wagner, but you, and maybe even said on the air, I know off air you said this, you didn't have high expectations for this.
No, I didn't.
I have to be honest, I didn't have expectations to it be good, bad, or indifferent. I think this wine caught us both off guard.
Mm-hmm.
You had low expectations. I had kind of no expectations. This is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this historically good? You're going to compare it against the best of the best? No, that's not what we're saying, folks.
No.
But for the price point, for the region, it makes me want to drink more red wine from the Finger Lakes. And we've always said we want to drink more stuff from Wagner. And I have to go back to it. That's so disappointing, the experience you had at the tasting room.
Well, you should give them, send them a sternly written letter.
A sternly?
Sternly.
Sternly? Sternly.
You're such a
dick. Yeah, I'll write a letter. Strawberry Letter number 9. Brothers Johnson. Great 70s song, folks. I think it's actually Strawberry Letter 19, I think.
It's very exciting.
It's a fantastic song.
Now, folks, have you ever had a wine that you've drank that kind of really exceeded your expectations? I mean, it your expectations were, say, to just, hey, I hope I enjoy this wine. Then it just flew past that, and it really transcended more than what you could ever anticipate. That's what this wine has done, and especially with the olives. It's just, it is one of those things where you go, well, this is kind of something I bought on vacation, so, you know, I was there, and they were looking at me, and they were like, are you going to buy anything, dickhead? And you're like, well, I don't know. And then you're like, well, I guess I will. Oh, it's a discount on a 12 bottle. Oh, shit. I better text Scott to see if he wants to buy anything so I can, like, buy a whole case. And then I did. And then Becky's like, why did you buy a whole case? And blah, blah. And then you drink this wine. You're like, well, shit. What the fuck was I doing? I should have bought 12 of these.
Or it's like, Triple B, being married to Rob for so many years, and then it's Mother's Day.
That's her fucking fault.
And she didn't have high expectations, and it was a good thing because she got disappointed with a card.
Didn't disappoint him.
Yeah. Kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Great.
It really is great. Really. And here's the thing, folks. Sometimes a wine doesn't have to be the most complex thing in the world to meet that bar. It just needs to do what it does really, really well and be executed properly by the winemaker. That's what we have here. This isn't the most complex wine, but it does more than just check all the boxes. It's got wonderful components in each, the front, mid palate, and the finish. Banging oak for what the wine is. It's oaked really well. Most important thing with oaking is you oak the wine to what you have in the barrel. No more, no less. What can the wine handle? How do you oak it? They nailed it. Nice nose. Nice nose. Good nose.
Mm-hmm.
But from an affordability standpoint, freaking knocked it out of the ballpark.
Mm-hmm. a shock, a surprise, a just absolute marvel of a wine that's their base wine from an area that isn't known for Cabernet.
It's not.
No, it's not. And next to a place that sells chicken wings. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
Were they good chicken wings?
I didn't eat any chicken wings.
That's a mistake on your part. You always got to eat chicken wings.
Thank you. Then I think I had Chipotle. Nevertheless, we're going to take a break.
They don't have hotel rooms, but they got Chipotle?
If we drove all the way to Niagara Falls to get fucking food, man. Where did we get? Yeah, because there's nothing there. So we kept on driving, and then we ended up in Niagara where we were staying. I don't remember what we had for dinner that night. I it was takeout of some kind. But
he's talking about his trip to the Finger Lakes, folk.
No. I meant when I was driving around there just randomly. I got lost.
It sounds like you were lost. You drove all the way to Niagara Falls for food.
Some people would argue that doing the trip that we did is kind of akin to being lost. So, folks, we're going to take a break, but be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the 2020 Wagner Vineyards Cabernet Sauvignon, not to be confused with Wagner Family Vineyards, which I unfortunately referred to it earlier today. That is the confab of, Naomi Joe and Chuck Wagner, who has to pay alimony to his previous wife, who makes Camus and all that other shit. I make Bonanza, Scott. I'm Wagner Family Vineyards.
You got to change your evil ways.
I know. I make that shit. I put it in a bucket, and I sell that bucket.
Before Becky smacks your ass, you got to change, Robert.
Well, that's a good night if Becky smacks my ass. That's all right.
I'm sure it's a good night for you.
I know.
Any attention but the stink eye.
She said, last night I pulled out Turley Old Vines Inn, and she goes, are you trying to get in my, or I don't know what she, basically, am I trying to, make her more,
did you pull out the
amenable to sex,
which is playing right now?
And I said, all I need to do is
what?
Snap my fingers, I think.
You said that.
Oh, yeah.
How'd that work out for you?
I didn't get laid.
Yeah. I can't imagine why.
She was farting.
That's why you didn't get laid.
No, I made some sort of paella. Rice, sausage, tomatoes, and some fennel and broth, right?
You are aware that most paellas have 4 to 5 to 6 meats in them.
Yes, this is Henry calls it paella. This is just a rice dish.
It's just a mini rice dish.
Yeah. And so.
You should play the Humpty like it's playing right now.
So Becky went to get the rice, and all she could find was a yellow rice. Well, apparently, whatever seasoning was in this yellow rice makes you fart. Because I had bad gas, Becky had bad gas. It was terrible.
I'll bring you arborio rice next week.
Well, that's risotto rice. You understand what they put in paella is a little slightly different than that?
You know it's actually the same grain?
It's not.
Yes, it is. Right. One's Spanish, one's Italian.
Okay, yes, one's Spanish, one's Italian.
It's the same grain.
It's two different countries.
It is two different countries. It's the same grain of rice.
Okay. Nevertheless, Scott, what is your numerical score for this wine?
Don't give a fuck. I'm going to overscore it because I like it. Not the most complex. Don't care. Really props to the winemaker.
Yeah.
Love the way it's treated with the oak. perfect oaking for what this wine is. Perfect oaking for treating it with respect, for dealing with the acidity of the wine.
Hallelujah.
I believe the oaking introduced a little acidity to the wine, but
testify,
maybe not.
Motherfucker.
Love the savory component of this wine. Shocking. Did not expect that. I'm giving it 90 my points.
Fuck it, duck.
I'm telling you, if it's overscored, I don't give a fuck.
That's a plethora of points. Yeah,
I love it. And I would I buy it again? On air, we talked about going in ordering volume of this wine for the price point. For the price point for what it is and who they are. This is a wine region in the Finger Lakes. Yes. Oh, the Finger Lakes is a good place. This is a red wine from the Finger Lakes. This isn't a Riesling. This isn't some other white wine, which is, quite honestly, I'm not going to say it's easier, but it's a safer thing to do.
Yes.
And by safe, it's easier to get it right.
I know.
And probably less subject to the variability of season to season to season.
This is harder to accomplish.
It really is.
And although I was going to give it 88 of my points, I am going to just join Scott in his merry 90 because it is a crackhead in score. But you know what? From an enjoyment standpoint and from a what I expected standpoint.
Shocking. We were surprised. We were surprised.
Fuck it. You know what, Wagner? You exceeded expectations once again. Tip of the fucking cap.
Yeah.
This is a great wine. Simple, but well done wine. You took what grapes were available.
Yeah.
But then you used good winemaking techniques and tasteful choices in the development and then the bottling and the production of this product. It's an excellent, excellent wine. You know why? Because A, you know it's Cabernet. B, you're like, not bad Cabernet. C, it's really well presented, not bad Cabernet. And D,
it's a great price. It really is.
It is. What the fuck else do you want? I mean, what do you want? Do you want something that... Oh, you're going to lay down for 15 years? Fuck you. It's $18.
No.
Go fuck yourself. And this wine is for drinking.
Yes.
It's for sitting on that back deck on a cool summer night, having a tasty glass of wine in your hand that you know it is bone fucking dry, that you know it's oaked correctly.
We didn't talk about the bone dryness enough about it.
It is bone fucking dry. Everything about it is what you want to wine. It has a little bit of Christmas because of how dry it is. Excellent, excellent drinking wine.
I did ask you what context you would drink this
you
in.
You did what?
Ask you. There's two things you just said that are fucking perfect. My thought was summer back deck. Mm-hmm. But you know the other thing? You said Christmas. And I think you were talking a little different context.
I said Christmas?
This is a great wine to have fun Christmas Day. Fucking hanging around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's going on. Chocolates, whatever your Christmas holiday thing is, this would be a great wine. You open up in the middle of the day on Christmas because it's a gift to drinking red wine.
Mm.
I love it, man.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, sir.
What do you do when your cat's dead?
Wilfred, I don't know. What do you do when your cat's dead?
You play with your neighbor's pussy. And by the way, Scott, hey, what's long, green, and smells like bacon?
It's the shit that's coming out of your ears right now because your brain's leaking?
Kermit the Frog's fingers.
What is that again?
You heard what I said.
No. Repeat it, please.
Now, what's long, green, and smells like bacon?
That is such a bad Miss Piggy reference. And the punchline is, what the fuck is wrong with you? Oh, my God.
That was, you laughed at that, though.
Well, it It's a Miss Piggy reference.
Hey, Scott.
Only Rob the Wine Guy could make a sexual innuendo about Miss Piggy.
I did. He didn't do it. Yeah. Hey, Scott, why can't you hear rabbits making love?
I don't know, Wilfred.
Because they have cotton balls. Yeah. That's right. Their balls are soft. Yeah. Scott.
And folks, it's time for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Hey, Scott.
We're going to see you next time.
Now.
Here.
Why does...
On the Wine Vault.
Why does Dr. Pepper come in a bottle?
I got nothing.
Because his wife died.
What? The fuck is
oh, yes, this? Scott, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, his wife's dead, so he fucks a bottle and comes in it, Scott. He ejaculates in a bottle. Okay, shouldn't know that. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Scott, what did the hurricane say to the coconut tree?
Go ahead and come in the bottle? I don't know.
No. Hold on to your nuts. This ain't no ordinary blow job. That's right. Hey, not Scott. What does the receptionist at a sperm bank say as clients leave?
See you next time.
Thanks for coming. What's long,
Oompa.
What's long, hard, and full of semen?
Miss Piggy's naval ship?
No, my dick. No, I'm sorry. It was a submarine. That's right.
What?
Semen. You know. Nevertheless, folks, because Scott's perverted. For Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.
By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on The Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.